the big show. Yeah, we're here to discuss the week in tech with a fantastic panel just here to the right, and I'm excited like you wouldn't believe, because in a few weeks we will not be streaming from this studio. We will be streaming from a different studio. We will be streaming from brand new premises, which are still at the stage where they've got wires hanging out the ceiling. Right there.
Oh, look. My goodness.
Right there. Look at that.
Sweet.
And
the best bit is that we can all see it while you're still talking about it.
And there's three rooms, yes. One of which I haven't got a clue what to do with at the moment. But there are three rooms that are going to be there that are going to have everything in. And they're big rooms. They're nice. And I've signed up on the lease, and we're ready to go. And BTM will be broadcast from that very room that you see before you now in a few weeks' time. It's 6 weeks before I move in. But I will no longer have to crawl under my desk like I'm climbing into a frigging fighter cockpit to do the show. You all sit there and look at me and go, wow, look at that. It's really spacious. He's got like brick behind him and all that kind of stuff. No, I haven't. It's the old illusion. I can touch the wall behind me and it's shit. From here up, you know, all you got to do is clear a V with a camera. Everything outside the V doesn't show up. So we will have a brick house. It's coming. And when the bash is on, so don't forget the bash is 3rd and 4th of July. Anyone that wants to come and visit the new studios and have their picture taken in the studio with all the gears and all that kind of stuff, not a problem.
Very nice.
If Wrighty hadn't paid for his room, he could have had a camp bed on the floor there, free of charge.
I know.
I can probably put about six people up if I need to, but it'll have to be camp beds. Bring your own. There we go. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, what's a panel from Hawaii with his Game of Thrones at the back. Backdrop. There he is. Wolf. Dot Rock, how you doing, pal?
Aloha. Good to see you guys. It's been a freaking crazy week over here, but I'm excited to be on the show.
That sounded like more like an Oscar acceptance speech than a hello.
No, at first I'd like to thank my mom and my dad for buying me a Tandy color computer.
A Tandy? Jesus Christ, now you're going back.
And you forgot the Academy.
We had Tandy in the UK as well for a little while, and then it became Maplin.
So, oh, Tandy.
Next to him, it's Patrice.
Hi, guys.
Late sub off the bench, and he looks a little bit, he does look a bit like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, doesn't he? Just a little bit. Sub off the bench. No, don't you think?
Yeah.
In a certain light, if he turns a certain way, you could pass.
Yes. I'm going to buy you a 20 jersey.
David Fairclough. There you go. He's the other one, Liverpool. How you doing, mate? You got back from badminton in time.
Yeah, I barely made it, but... we
appreciate... Well, you barely made it, mate. You've been on the line for 30 minutes. You never arrived to this show on time.
Yeah.
Kelly turns up
late.
Yeah,
apparently I was the first one to arrive. That was surprising, because I was something like 10 minutes late. So.
Yeah, exactly. So like, Kelly turns up late, and we always blame her. That's why we're late starting. But actually, she knows damn well that we wouldn't be on time, even if she was here on time, so... Never mind.
Yeah.
Even when I'm here early, it's what happens.
Yeah. We should call it the Big Late Show. then it would just be right. Kelly G, where you been, woman?
You know, stuff. I had work, actually, so I didn't get an opportunity to show up last week.
Ooh, what were you doing?
I had a meeting. Ooh. So, yeah. So just a Skype meeting that happened to be scheduled for the same time as the show. So that's why.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
Who did schedule that?
You've got a dead MacBook behind you.
I do.
That is belly, it is belly up.
That's why it's belly up, because that's the dead one.
So if anyone's got a logic board for a MacBook Pro...
Late 08 unibody MacBook.
Oh, I got one of those. 17-inch. Righty's on it at the moment.
Nice.
Unfortunately, it's got a perfectly healthy logic board. But if you've got a logic board that you can give to Kelly, any donations gratefully accepted. Please send it to her, because the cheapest one she can find at the moment is $300. Yeah. Which is taking the piss, to be honest, because it's... There'll be one on eBay that's like a complete unit that's scrap, and all you can do is take it for the parts and the logic board will work on it, and it'll be like $100 or something.
Yeah, something with a broken display.
Yeah,
you want to find one with a broken display. That's the answer.
That's the one. They're right there. See, I'm telling you. And then you've got to adopt the how hard can it be mentality when you take it to pieces.
I've already taken that one to pieces a couple of times. Well, so there you go. Then. I already have
this. This is well within your scope.
Of course.
Stop whinging. Start looking. And last but by no means least, Swatty Boy.
Hello, mate. Are you all right?
I'm all right, mate. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I've got the wife approval. I've got my bass ticket.
Yay!
I'm going to see you in July.
Jufo Jim is there as well. You're Saturday, Sunday, though, aren't you? You're not home Monday.
No.
You're not coming. You're not for curry. Monday.
No, no curry for me, but it disagrees with me anyway. I'll be there. I can't wait.
I've got to read this out. Sorry to interrupt, Righty. I've had two statements today. I've tweeted out. So I've got a Word document, and once a year I have to open a Word document and fill it in and send it to someone. And it comes through, and nothing that I've got will open it. It always corrupts because it's got a table in it. So I tweeted out, has anyone got any ideas as to how to get it? Because everything I put it in, if it's in Google Docs, if it's LibreOffice, anything I put it in just corrupts it. And I've had a lovely contact, I have to say. I can't complain, from @OfficeSupport from Microsoft. Hi, Ewan. What version of Word and Windows are you using? Are there any messages, error messages appearing? To which I replied, none. Perhaps that's the problem. meaning the version of Word and Windows. To which they replied, you could use Windows Word Viewer to view the document. What version of Windows are you running? None. That may be
what
the
part
problem.
Of none is the part you're missing with.
But I think it's a lovely, sweet gesture. Thank you, Microsoft, for sending that through on your support team. It's beautiful. It's touched me. It's made me want to be Windows.
Four of them for trying.
Not. Sorry.
Bless him.
The Week in Tech. Right. Who's got a story? Who wants to start us off? Who thinks they can spark the debate of the century? I think that's Doc, but he's frozen. Go on, Doc, yeah. Start us off, boy.
I'm not frozen. I was just being rightly still. I don't know if this is the shutdown story of the week, but I think it's just majorly epic because it's something that I know that many people in my community have been deeply, deeply worried about. And I would assume Kelly, too, and a couple of the other people here in the old United States of America. Comcast today had to officially drop its bid for Time Warner Cable because the FCC was sort of punching them in the freaking man sacks for a while and they couldn't keep up with the barrage that they're getting. They tried to lobby for support. They tried to offer different concessions to try to make a deal sweet and this FCC kind of wasn't having it and they just finally said, screw it. This is be more of a waste of money to keep going. So they basically dropped their $45 billion deal to try to take over on the cable. This makes me happy as snot because I am a current Time Warner Cable subscriber and all I ever hear my Comcast brethren talk about is how they get capped all the time. And if I wanted to be capped, I'd move to South Central LA.
But you've got to say as well that, I mean, the in terms of competition, the Comcast Time Warner deal is horrifically bad.
Yes.
Most def. So I that's mean, why I'm so glad that it's like, dying because that was going to be horrible.
Like, that's the primary problem is that competition bit would be, it would be disastrous for competition because there isn't competition now. So the first bit of the of this that's great is that. And then the second bit is that all the Comcast people are like, well, it's not like it could be, you know, it's not like merged customer service would be any worse at Time Warner. And Time Warner's customers are saying the same thing. Well, I guess it's not like it could get any worse under Comcast. So like Comcast consistently wins most hated company. Like whenever they do those brackets, is it Consumerist or somebody does the like the companies we love the most. And then they do the opposite and Comcast like wins that every year. And that's not the kind of award you want to like broadcast that you're winning. So I'm super glad about this. And I'm really glad that for once something seemed to matter enough to people that they actually were that somehow a difference has been made. And so maybe between this and net neutrality coming through at the same time, there's something to be said, for, you know, standing up for yourself. And maybe it's finally time that consumer protection that we keep, you know, hearing so much about that you have in other countries might actually, you know, get trendy here.
But look at what, I mean, they are both the worst companies in the US, but look at what they could have achieved if they, I mean, if they had merged, they could have gotten even worse.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem.
Can we just be careful?
You know, okay, let me back up time warning here. I'm going to say something that you've never heard me say in the many years of being on the podcast. In January of 2015, Time Warner got a new CEO, and I'll pull his name out of my ass in a second. Since January, I have talked to Time Warner on the phone about 3 times. And after all 3 times I got off the phone, I had to check my whiskey, see if I had been drinking too much, weed stash to make sure the proper amount is there, because I must be high. I have been treated like a king in my last 3 operations with them, including just a week ago. The other thing that's
Jeff Bukes, by the way,
is they're going out and they're tripling around the country. They are surprise tripling people's connection. So I just rewired my buddy's house. Brad Watanabe, my homeboy that does Hawaii Shoots with me. We run an organization that puts all photographers together so that we can continue to talk, shop, and grow and learn together. I went to go help him rebuild a studio, and all I did was change his old Apple AirPort into a new amped wireless, you know, 3-prong thingy. And then I rewired a bunch of cables, and I took his modem that he rented from Time Warner out, and I bought one, and I stuck it in there, and I called Time Warner to get it hooked up. They hooked it up. He was getting 10 by 10 by 1. When I was done, he was getting 100 by 10. And then when we called to ask, is that correct? And they were like, yeah, we gave him a complimentary upgrade because we're moving into TWC Max, which is going to give, like, my connection is going to switch to 300 by 20. So they, since January, they have been behaving like a good company. And the new CEO's letter first came out in January that he wanted to be a more customer focused, and he wanted to end all of the crap that he read on Twitter when he took over. And they have been amazing. And it's really hard to believe that they're still Time Warner, which is why I was hoping Comcast would keep their stupid hands off, because he might have been enough to get fired.
Can I ask a question, just as a yes. Brit? The, what would have been the consequence?
Can I ask a question as a Norfolk man? Can I ask a question as a Norfolk man? What be a TV? Yeah.
Well, no, because obviously, you know, we're talking about, okay, it would have been terrible if it had gone through, but what would the consequence have been of it going through?
So let me break it down for you, Paul. So right now in a lot of places, there's basically no alternative. If you want, you know, if you want television that does not come on an antenna, whether it's a cable or a satellite, in a lot of places you have one choice. And like for me, it's Comcast. I don't think I can even get a different internet or TV provider if I wanted to, based on the neighborhood I'm in. And there's a lot of America that is that way. And some places you do have an option, and that option is either Comcast or Time Warner. So in a lot of places, if the two had merged, what few areas actually do have more than one option for a TV provider, that second option would essentially go away. So that's the problem.
Lose even more competition. Because I think here, because we can have any broadband provider anywhere in the UK, really, can't we? Apart from Virgin.
Oh, no, you can't. You see, that's the thing that's quite interesting, is if you talk about Virgin... Virgin is I think Nottingham. It's what used to be Blue Diamond Cable. So it's all of London, all of Nottingham, and all of Birmingham, and I think Manchester. And you can get pure Virgin Cable, and the pipe that comes to your house is theirs that they laid out as Blue Diamond Cable, going back 20 years. But the problem is, if you buy Virgin Cable when you're in a non-cable area, you actually get a BT phone line, and then it gets passed down the BT phone line. So you're only getting the speeds that BT provide or control. So if you've got BT Finity in your area, you'll get fast Virgin Media. If you haven't, stiff shit, you're not getting fast Virgin Media. Here, we get the pipe. I get light to the door. Well, light to the box and then copper to the door. But if you're anywhere else, you don't. So it's a tough old position over here. I think there is, supposedly there's open competition, but it's all going through BT pipes for 90% of the population. The thing I was going to say was, you're talking about 30 million users going under one single provider then at that point, which is, that's yes. probably, what, half?
Yeah, half of what?
Half of the total provision for users?
No, it wouldn't. I mean, it wouldn't be quite half, but it'd be a huge chunk. Yeah. I mean, you got to remember, we're close to 400 million of us. And you say about 70% connected in, I think the number 64% connected in the U.S. By that,
but that would be mobile included.
Excuse me?
That would be mobile included.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So let's remove. So let's you know what? You're, it's closer to half than you would think, but it's not quite half. Yes. So that would have been ridiculous.
Never heard of Blue Diamond Cable. That's because you're not old enough for Air Black Magic. Those of us those of us were, that were off the teat in the 70s remember them perfectly fine. Thank you very much. I talked to someone the other day. On I was at a premises, and I was having a chat with him, and I was like, when were you born? He said 1987. Jesus Christ.
Well, 85.
Out of high school and in the army.
I am old. is America... Oh, is it like VE Day over there, or is it is everyone just kind of silently clapping in the background?
I don't think anyone knows quite yet, because the story literally broke about 20 minutes before I dropped it. So no. It will spread around, and tomorrow on all of the podcasts you will hear about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it yet. So
is it one of those things that most of the people didn't actually know it in the first place?
I think.
Oh,
I
no,
think
lots of people knew. Press,
yeah, I think the tech press knew. And anybody who has had really crappy customer relations in the past have known, so much so that many people are like, hey, you need to call your cable company and ask, are you getting the speed that you're supposed to be getting? Because you might just have to recycle your modem or switch out to one of the newer 16-channel DOCSIS 3 modems that you might see a speed increase. And my friends are like, what, really? I just gave up calling them because it's always been useless. And I go, no, like it's different experience now. I mean, the lady even hooked me up with 6 months of free Epics, which is like four channels trying to compete with HBO. And she was like, you know, I reading your case file, it seems like, you know, some arguments with us in the past. And I was like, are you calling them arguments? I'd call them if I could reach through the phone and out of somebody, that would have happened. And then she was like, she said, I feel really bad. So she gave me some free channels, and it's kind of good stuff on there.
Your audio broke up there. I've got no idea if I need to edit any of that or bleep it.
No, I broke it up. That means I did a good job, because I did read through the phone and choked it out of somebody. I did that on purpose.
Rare Black Magic says that he wasn't born till 1989. And that's horrific.
89? It should be in bed.
That's just disgusting. 89, you should still be at school, young man. And it's way past your bedtime.
My lawn. And get off.
89.
Born a lot in 1989. I was stationed in Germany at that time.
1989. Sesame Street had moved on to the letter R by that point.
Oh, you got to edit now.
Yes, you do.
I'm so upset.
I have jeans older than 1989.
I've got jeans older than 1989, says McCree.
I think I do. I know I have t-shirts older than 1989.
What's really funny is one of the older people in the chat room, Muller, has put in, by 1089, I was on my third job.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yes.
Having survived the Norman invasion, I'd got my third job.
are you Centurion? Like, I don't...
We're going to call him Muller the Conqueror from now on.
Muller's a Hun.
Muller the Hun.
He's the Doctor. It's his third incarnation.
I could have coughed up a lung. Stop.
Show us your fangs.
Oh, mate. If I die tonight, I'll die happy. That was awesome.
I was going to make a regenerate joke.
I wonder if he knows Eric Northman.
T-Pan says, turns out he was a crap archer. Put someone's eye out that night.
T-Pan. Bonus point. Oh. thumbs up.
Or oh, I think by 1089, I'm assigned to it. By 1089, I was on my third job's going to be the title.
God, that is...
He was
a crap archer.
He's unfortunately quiet. He's either choking on a whiskey or he's upset at me. So
staring at us, yeah, without typing.
So in this case, Mueller Breaker, what exactly is the recipe for mead?
Oh no, Steve Neighbor's brother makes mead. He brought it to the bash. I eventually threw it down the drain a year later.
That was evil.
It was awful. It was disgusting stuff. But Steve drank it and he got pissed on it.
Honey and dirt.
Hey, didn't they have opium dens in London back in 1089?
Oh, there was no London, I don't think, mate. So.
There was no London in 1089.
No, I was joking. That was a Sherlock Holmes.
There was just a few people shitting in the river and that was it.
Yeah.
Thanks for that story. What was the story? Oh, yeah, Comcast. Stuff the Comcast story. Honey, more honey, and herbs and yeast is what the chat room thinks it's made out of.
All right.
I think there's got to be...
honey and dirt.
Oh, and water, says Batwings, just to thicken it up.
By the way, honey and dirt is what I call a weak king, girl.
No, Man Ure. I think that's a Man United plug there. I think
that's a jab at Doc, probably.
Yeah, for Man United.
Hey, Muller, you lost for the week. You have made. You just got toasted on being a crap archer, so let it slide, buddy.
There's my phone popping up with the Guardian letting me know Comcast to call off Time Warner Cable merger after death sentence.
Old news. You see, you heard it here first, you heard it there second.
I totally did.
See, we're cutting edge news. Anyone says we're not journalists, when I'm sober, I'll fight you.
Just as soon as he restarts his butt.
Yeah. Kickstarts my butt. You see what I did there? No? Okay, fair enough.
Don't kick it too hard, it'll get a crack.
Oh, dude, I told Briony that joke tonight. We're going on, I can't remember what it was we were saying at dinner. And I said, doctor, I need a new bottom. And she said, why? I said, because mine's got a crack in it. And she belly laughed. And then she said she was going to tell a teacher tomorrow because it was funny. I was like, no! No! Oh, who's got another story about tech before we get onto the... I'll tell you what we could do. We might as well just call this the punch and we'll do the big show afterwards. The pinch even.
I've got a story.
Go for it.
Apparently,
Therese, for Christ's sake,
Google or YouTube is discontinuing the older data API, and that means that YouTube will stop working on certain devices like the second generation Apple TV, I think generation 2 of the Google TV, some Sony TVs and Blu-ray players and Panasonic 2 and iPhones, iPads, iPod Touches that don't run at least iOS 7. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Is that too soon?
It's a catastrophe.
It's a really crap birthday present because it's 10 years today that the first YouTube video was uploaded, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
So it's like, screw you. If you don't buy something new, you don't get it anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, none of that stuff is exactly new. The current edition of the Apple is years old. iOS 7 is... pushing 3 now, it's at 2.5 years. So even if you had something that was under contract, it's probably not under contract anymore. But my question would be, how big a tragedy is this? Because how many people who have a second generation Apple TV are using it to watch YouTube videos on television? How many people are using an iOS 6 device and do nothing but look at the cats on the YouTube all day long? You know, like, I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, who spends time with their Blu-ray player with their olden Blu-ray player doing nothing but watch Adult Wednesday Addams. Like,
I mean,
I don't know any of those people are, so I don't know how tragic this actually is.
Well, here's the other thing that, if I can remember, I'm trying to trying to find the actual date, but I know for a fact that when I bought my Apple TV Gen 2, I was still gainfully employed at Apple. And I left Apple in 2011. So that puts the device at least 4 to 5 years old. I'm talking about black hockey puck. Right? So 4 to 5 years on the tech device and something gets cut off. Well, yeah, too bad. So what? Like it just, yeah. Even the Apple TV Gen 3 came out March in 2012, which puts it back 3 years.
Yeah. So like I said, the new one is 3 years old. And in fact, the new one has been around so long, they knocked $30 off the price of it. So if it is in fact a tragedy to you that your second generation Apple TV isn't going to get this and that there are some other updates that aren't being pushed out to the second generation Apple TV anymore, replacing it won't even cost you as much as it cost you to buy it in the first place, because they're $69 now instead of $99. That's the going rate from Apple.
But hang on, the other cool thing, a black hockey puck is so easy to turn into whatever you want it to turn into if you have a Gen 2. So it would take you all of about 2 minutes to SSD into that sucker and make it run whatever you want it to run.
But my point...
SSH and yes.
I mean, SSH, I'm sorry, I'm looking at it hard.
My question would be, though, where's the necessity for YouTube to kill their activation on
exactly iOS where it is.
7? No, because the point is, if you haven't upgraded the app and the app is concurrent with with iOS... then all it is nothing harder than playing the video to the existing player that's already there. We're not talking about the fact that you've got the old iOS and you're trying to upgrade the player. We're talking about the fact that they're just stopping sending it to that player. And I don't get the point of that, because that's just killing views and unnecessarily killing views, because there's no support cycle that needs to support anyway.
The reason why I'm on a conference call with YouTube every Monday right now, because I am one of the partners that is getting roped into the cool new partner program. In order to switch to the new subscription model, the API has to change. And by changing that API, they can't have the old API out there, because people, ne'er-do-wells, would use the old API to circumvent the new API and take money out of my pocket, which would require me to beat your ass.
Because they're even killing it on the first and second gen Google TV.
On their own device. So that's why nobody can complain. They're cutting their own balls off. That's the way I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure that's true, because I don't know how many first and second gen Google TVs were sold, but we know that a lot of Apple TVs. So who knows?
We have no idea what you finished off there with.
Thank God.
We didn't hear your last sentence. We have no idea, and then we lost it.
We have no idea how many Apple TVs compared to Apple TVs were sold. So.
Yeah, I mean, the other point that Booker is making in the chat room here, and it's really a good one, actually, is to think the update cycle for TVs is really long. Are early smart TVs going to lose YouTube as well? And you've got to suggest that based on what you've just said, Doc, yes, they are, that seems grossly unfair.
I would say it is grossly unfair, except for you can solve that problem with a $20 stick. So, like, it's not that hard. You just go buy anyone. The NZO Vision or Amazon Fire Stick. I mean, it's such an easy problem to solve.
Yeah,
but I can complain about it or I can spend...
No, hang on a minute, Doc. Hang on. I bought this TV and I'm in the shop with the salesman, and the salesman goes, it's a smart TV. It's bloody awesome. You can get on the internet with it. There's loads of channels that are running XNBC that you can get from it. And also, guess what? You can even get... YouTube on it. And they're like, oh, YouTube, heard that word, that's a sales feature, the kids will love that, fine, thank you Dandy very much, and they put it on. It's a sales feature. YouTube was a sales feature. And you say, oh well, you could replace that by a $20 stick. Most people wouldn't know how to set that $20 stick up if they bought it based on the fact they heard the word YouTube when the salesman said it. I've never bought a TV because the salesman said YouTube, but there's an awful lot of consumers out there do, and those consumers won't know about the stick either. All they're sitting with now is they're going, it won't play, Mom, it won't play.
Yeah, so here's the thing that's cool about that. That's 100% true, but the new versions of cable boxes that are slowly dropping around right now kind of have that sort of built in. if you have an Xbox, a PlayStation, or anything like that, it's already built in. And all of the new versions already have all of the new versions. A really, really old kid that won't have it. And even on your smart TV, if the smart TV does have XBMC, it doesn't matter because XBMC is updatable, and therefore tube will still work. Because the new version of XBMC...
Okay, jump in, mate. Go on.
But we're having this conversation that, yes, okay, we're all geeks. That's great. You know, we can update XBMC. We can put a stick in the side. We can get Chromecast and all that. But the majority of the people affected by this are people who don't know how to do it. That's where this is actually a bad thing, because the majority won't know what to do. Because we're doing it as, yeah, well, I can do this. Absolutely fine. But
yeah,
a lot of people won't. And that's the point.
I get you. I mean, that's...
And
that's,
Doc, you've gone from a $20 stick to a whole new TV.
On YouTube.
You've gone from a $20 stick to a whole new TV in your upgrade program just there. Okay. Oh, well, they can get a new TV. I mean, it's an old TV. Jeez.
What's the refresh on a new TV? What, you know, five, 8 years, you know?
8, 10, more like.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine is about 3.
Yeah, but that's you. That's Doc.
I mean... No, I know that. I'm going to say point blank, I definitely know that. But what I'm saying is my brain just... So if someone really wanted to know how to do it, the answer to how to solve this problem literally is just on YouTube. I mean, all the solutions to solve this are right there.
but you can't access YouTube.
okay, wait. We forgot the other major simple one. Most telephones can send things to the TV. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, how many people will know how to do that?
Oh man, we're talking about someone who heard the word YouTube and slapped down $1,000 for a TV, and they're going to learn how to put AirPlay onto their TV or something like that.
You have an incoming call from Kelly.
Don't worry, I can edit. So, hang on, let me just come back because there's a great point in the chat room that someone's mentioned about that smart TVs are a rip-off anyway. Oh, Kelly's gone again. That means she'll be back. Most people listen to hear keywords and then they buy it in curries, etc. Couldn't agree more. I use smart TV, love Netflix, love Amazon Prime, etc., says Paul Wheatley. Someone's gone on about show me a smart TV with a decent UI. And Paul Wheatley in the chat room said...
You have an incoming call from Kelly.
And Paul Wheaton in the chat room has said, show me an Apple TV, Google TV, or Amazon Fire with a decent UI. And he's gotten there, absolutely. I mean, Apple TV is still running front row, which is shit. And it's being kind to call it shit as well.
On the new Sonys, I will say they still have a crappy UI, but what makes it really, really easy is if you happen to have had a PlayStation controller, you can pair the PlayStation controller to the TV, and it's pretty simple.
Dude, you might as well be telling my mother to warp time.
Mother have a PlayStation controller. I mean, so in order to have a PlayStation controller, you have a kid or a nerd in the house somewhere. So they know how to do it. It literally syncs by itself. You press a button and it goes, hey, I saw a PlayStation controller. Can I connect to it? It doesn't require any nerdery whatsoever. It's super simple. But once you have that, you can use the hell out of it. Even though the UI does suck, you can do it with a controller in your hand. Paul is right. And I don't say that but once a week. all of the UIs for all of them basically are horrible, including my favorite new Kodi trick, Kodi TV. The UI is bad, but it offers such good features that you kind of don't care. Now, D-Pan said something that nobody brought up, and I'll bring it up for D-Pan since they can't talk. The people who are we are calling average Joe, who are buying the quote-unquote smart TV because it has those features, if you say they don't know how to do all these other stuff, they also don't even know how to use the smart TV section on their TV. Because I can tell you right now, Karen's parents have a smart TV because we bought it for them for Christmas, and does that button ever get pressed. Like, they don't even know, even though I've showed the dad like 47 times every time we watch a cool movie on Netflix together, and I went out and bought special power line Ethernet adapters to make it all work so that he could specifically watch Japanese news on a TV through smart TV. He still never presses that button unless I'm there. Mm. He's afraid he's going to break it. So D-Pan actually is just kind of arguments because the average Joe that don't know how to do the things you say don't know how to do also don't know how to press the smart TV button.
I think I have to counter that because my mom has just no idea what she's doing, but she has a smart TV, and although she's not using it all day, every day, she is using it every now and then, and she is using it for YouTube. So, I don't think that's true for everyone.
I was going to ask you if your mom is Esau, but it's not going to apply. Esau is English as a second language. But that's so not in Germany. So never mind that statement.
Okay. I think it just seems silly. I don't think their new subscription idea is the best one that they've ever had, to be honest. And I think that they're going to lose views for people. People are going to get pissed off with it. It's not going to be the accessible format that currently is there for people to get in contact out on the net and then embed in their own web pages and hit views with it. And I think they're going to end up with people pissed off, and they're going to go back to where they started in the end. So what goes around will come around again. They'll go, we've got this new plan where we don't do the subscription thing. And guess what? All those old devices will enable them again. Because there's plenty of them, I'm sure. Plenty of them.
I had a question for you.
Go on.
So let's say YouTube loses 25%.
Oh, yeah, okay. They don't care.
Right? I mean, do you know how many current users they have right now as of March 2015?
There's 2 billion uploads a day to YouTube.
Right. 300 hours of video every minute. So if half of those people, right now YouTube lost 10% of its users because they just passed from natural causes. So, but they also get replenished because somebody becomes 13, you know, every couple of seconds. So, like, I mean, in reality, even if they do piss off that amount of people, if it provides for what's going to end up being a better service, it's okay. I mean, I keep telling everybody, they spent years thinking about this, and they've been giving us something free for so long, and now we finally got to pony up and pay them or watch more commercials, and we're mad about it. I don't get it.
Dude, you're like a tech Nazi.
He is.
You are.
No, it's I'm just, a realist, bro. No, it's all about reality.
No.
You come out with, I come out with stuff that's like real serious, genuine consumer issues that generates concern amongst the paying customer, and you sit there going, f*** them.
Yes.
Suck it up,
paying customer.
That's like Doc's default
stance. That's
exactly
what I'm saying. There is no paying customer right now, and they're saying, okay, people, for the last 10 years, we've given you the second best thing since sliced bread, and you've gotten it for free, and now we're going to charge you, or you just watch more commercials.
I don't mind that they're doing that. What worries me is you're on their side. I thought you were my friend.
Oh,
so
I'm a creator.
Here's my question.
I would love this.
My question is, how many people are we actually talking about? Because how many people are technical enough to fight with the UI on a smart TV?
Well, that's not all of us either, maybe.
Number one, I know. How many people are like, yeah, you know what? I bought this TV because I can watch YouTube on it, and I'm going to watch YouTube on it, and it's going to be great. How many people are willing to put up with that user interface in order to do it on their TVs who bought a TV long enough ago that they're going to be in a situation where this is going to cut them off in some way? How many people who are clever enough to do the internet thing on their television in whatever fashion that is are also not clever enough, A, have a different way to do it, whether they know it or not, or B, end up in a, you know, not necessarily have another device already that, like I said, they just don't realize they can actually do anything with. So that's the thing that I'm wondering about, is how many people are technical enough to know this is something they can do, but not quite technical enough to not have any alternative to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that little band of people is really that many people, which is why I think Doc is right. At least I think that's what he was saying, that Google probably doesn't feel bad about leaving those people in the dust, because they're really only, you know, 10 people or whatever.
We've got the
Google will know how small the percentage is, and I think if it was something like 40% of their users, they would never do it. So
right, the first thing I thought when I heard this,
But
was that the I mean, issue just was that they mom. Weren't able to track their views in some way, and so because the app was old enough that it wasn't, there's data that they want that they aren't getting from those older devices that only can use that older app. So that's kind of the thing that I figured was going on with it. But if it's, you know, this new YouTube model thing, that makes sense too. But I still, I really wonder who those folks are, because a lot of people who are willing to put up with that UI also have an Android device or an iPhone or something else. And nobody's going to be able to tell them if they mention, you know, oh, I can't watch YouTube on my TV anymore. Like, why don't you just use your phone and an Apple TV? Oh, what? That's a thing? Like, it's probably an education issue. Like, I have a TV. I thought I had to do all this on my television. No, no. Switch your input. You're solid, you know, and that's it. So
that's Kelly and Doc. The
I think that that's probably not anywhere near as many people as we thought it was.
Kelly and Doc, the US chapter of the Bader Meinhof group. There we go.
What the heck is a Bader Meinhof?
Look it up on Wikipedia. What have you got to say, righty?
No, because the people who Kelly was mentioning are the people who still have Windows XP on their laptops and computers and are just carrying on using them because they just it just works. And I think the number is actually quite large.
Well, you're still going to get it through a browser, though. It's only when you've got the app, isn't it? It's only the app.
That's I know, but I'm just saying, there's a lot of people who don't, using XP is an example of people who just will not move on and will miss that.
Yeah.
I think it's a large amount of people than we think it's going to be.
Okay. iBookery says... go on.
Sorry. How many of you guys actually... Now, we're all techs and we're all nerds, okay? How many of you guys actually watch YouTube on your TV? Because I have 8 things over there that can do it, and I still don't watch YouTube on my TV.
My kids do.
I don't have a TV.
Once in a while.
I don't have a TV. What?
Yeah.
It's German.
Because that's why.
I don't know what that is.
He lives in his bedroom and shits out the window. Jesus. I don't know. What the hell's he doing on the panel if he doesn't have a TV? Christ's sake, don't book him again.
It's rare. It's very rare.
It's rare.
Hey, you should see this. You know?
Yeah.
To more than one person at a time. That's it.
Muller, my kids use it a lot, but there you go. Muller in the chat room has said something that I can't repeat, which clearly shows he's been drinking longer than I have. And... Bookery says XP rules, and in the next line, Bronwyn says XP sucks. So there we go.
And so, Polly, were you really at YouTube Spaces yesterday?
Yes, he probably was, because he was in London yesterday. I know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why he says he yes.
Up in his damn self. Did he die? Where's he at?
Yeah, he's also put in the chat room, my daughter watches YouTube constantly. She knows more YouTube celebrities than anyone on the mainstream ones, but she doesn't know you, Doc.
He didn't say that because I'm reading it. Damn it.
Oh, Jesus. The suspension of disbelief, man. Get on board.
Come on.
Righty, have you got a story for us?
Yeah, I have. It seems that YouTube are finally cracking down on abuse on Twitter.
Oh, all right. YouTuber.
Can you play that back in your brain and...
Yeah, I know.
Say it again.
Sorry?
You said YouTube is cracking down on abuse on
Twitter. Twitter is cracking down. And obviously, it's been too long. But this week, they've unveiled a bunch of changes. And they're kind of saying that, one, they're going to start cracking down on it. Because obviously, there's been a lot of criticism of not locking accounts when they've been abusive to people and letting things carry on for far too long. But there are interesting changes now that, one, they are finally going to start blocking accounts that they deem to be abusive. But they're putting in technology and with their support staff that will actually predict or analyze tweets that should be abusive or are deemed abusive and block those accounts as well. And they actually put, you know, I've always said that Twitter have been really bad at kind of analyzing this sort of stuff. And their blog post this week said, our previous policy was unduly narrow and limited our ability to act on certain kinds of threatening behavior. The updated language better describes the range of prohibited content and our intention to act when users step over the line to abuse. And apparently that change to their terms and conditions means that they think that the abuse on Twitter will stop.
Where's the line?
That's adorable. Yeah.
Where's the line?
And that's the point, is where is the line? That's what he said.
So this morning I tweeted out, because Krishnan Guramurthy did an interview with Robert Downey Jr. He's only supposed to do a junket over Age of Ultron, and he decided to take it into Robert Downey's past issues with drug, alcohol, and his relationship with his father. And I tweeted out, I've always suspected that Krishnan Guramurthy was a complete wanker. Now I'm fairly sure. How to screw up a 15-minute movie junket. And it was. It was just a complete media ambush. And I've always thought the bloke's a complete twat. And now I'm certain of the fact. Now, does my tweet constitute abuse of Krishnan Guramurthy?
No.
You're not making a threat.
Okay, so I've got to actually threaten to do something.
Now, if you said, physically, this made me want to go punch him in the face, that right. might get someone's attention.
Then I'll be
or if you created a fake account for that, just to post that.
And yeah. Because particularly that's what, if you do it all
that's
the time.
What's happening. I mean, I don't know whether you're following Brianna Wu, but I mean, that's the fight she has fought in the past, I don't know, 6 months with the Gamergate idiots. So, yeah.
I think there's a certain something as well with online abuse whereby it's not okay to do it. I'm not suggesting it's not.
Yeah.
But Ellis has always talked to me about people who he should be scared of or not scared of. And I've always said to him, mate, if you go into somewhere and there's a bloke who doesn't look at you, doesn't speak at you, constantly stares in his glass, he's the one to be scared of. Not the one who's threatening you, poking you in the chest, saying, I'm going to do such and such to you, because they never actually do it. All God is no trousers. And the ones that talk don't do. And I think there's a certain element that, you know, I've had abuse on Twitter and I've had abuse via email, and the ones that talk don't do, plain and simple.
For the most part, they don't, but...
No, for all of it, they don't.
Yeah.
If someone's going to do that, they just do it. They don't talk about doing it first. The ones to be scared of are the ones that just do it, the ones you don't see coming. The ones that say something, anything, are just full of shit, nothing else. They don't do anything. They never follow through on it. And that's the problem, is that I think the trolls have got to go. Don't get me wrong. I'm absolutely behind anyone. If you make a threat on Twitter, you should be gone. What concerns me is where that thing becomes a threat and it's just, and it's not just an expression of, I really don't like this person. They make my skin crawl because they're a complete and utter wanker. Then you've still got to be able to say that. And I defend anyone who has to hold that opinion.
That includes against anyone against me. Right. I don't like this. I don't like this person. I don't like what they said. I don't like how they roll. I don't like the way they lick stamps, whatever. Like, that's still an I statement. But if it's, I don't like the way Doc licks stamps and it makes me want to punch him in the face, that's another story.
No, but him making you want to punch him in the face is different from I'm going to punch you in the face. That is completely different.
Right. I misspoke. That's what I mean, is I'm going to go to Hawaii with the express purpose of punching Doc in the face. You know, I need a chair. I'll bring a chair. But the difference there is a big difference. And that's the problem that I think a lot of people necessarily see. Like, you know, somebody says, oh God, Ewan's got Kelly on the show again. Like, so what? But if they go, I'm going to go to Kelly's house and keep her from ever doing another show, now we have a problem.
You know, I got a question that I get a lot of flack for, but I guess, okay, so let's pick on this person, KG, for a second. And not to just pick on him, but just to say, if you put yourself in the public eye as someone as a celebrity does, are you allowed more crap thrown at you than someone who is, say, being a normal everyday citizen like Patrice? And even Patrice, at this point, you're on a podcast where 20 people are watching. And so
we get a few more downloads than that. Steady on, Doc.
so again, like on the podcast tip, and or you're a news person, like, I get it. So, like, if someone was picking on, say, Emma on on the internet. That, I think that's a different threshold than someone like us who puts ourselves out there and we make things. We should so much expect people to say, you know, I hate you, you stupid idiot, blah, blah, blah. Like, I get comments on my YouTube videos,
yeah,
like, oh, I hate your voice. And yet I also get hundreds of people like Bronwyn that's like, keep talking. So, I mean, to me, I laugh those things off. It doesn't bother me. That's not abuse. Even I've been death threat and I've been called all kinds of names that I won't repeat on the show so you doesn't have to edit. But I just laugh at them because I know the majority of those people, if I was standing right in front of them, they would say any of that. Because they can't see, all they see is my head. They don't see signs over there, you know. So, yeah, like, if you're a public figure, don't you get more, like, room to be called name?
Yeah, but there's still a line. If I mean, if 50% or 90% of what you get is that crap, then I think there is a line.
No, but
if all you hear all day long is you're stupid, your mom is stupid, I killed your dog. I mean, just go to Twitter and look at what certain people get.
Call of Duty.
I think, hang on, the thing is, that's my point is fundamentally, what is the line? And that is not clear. That is not something. And I also have a fundamental right to call you a wanker if I think you are.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I'm a threat to your safety by any stretch of the imagination. I think Kelly's saying I misspoke, but I think her statement is exactly perfect because it's like what you're saying makes me want to do the following to you is different from what you're saying means I am going to come and do the following to you. And those are two completely different things. One is an expression of the degree of madness that you instill upon me, and the other one is an out-and-out threat. And those are two different things.
Or if it has nothing to do with what you're saying.
Right.
If you're just doing it for the purpose of someone. I think there is definitely is a line. And you're right. The question is, where is it?
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue Twitter had. They were defining it really, really narrowly, and they said, "Okay, we have to be more open about it, and have to probably involve more humans in it, or more people in it."
I'm okay with that.
Figure out where the line is.
I'm absolutely okay with that, as long as there's a check and balance against that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish had been part of this policy from Twitter is that they would have ended up with a little bit of personal responsibility. Give me an opportunity to verify my account and say that I am who I say I am, and make it something where I have to prove it in whatever way that is, you know, and then cause it to be something that's my responsibility. I have to prove to you that I am who I say I am, and whatever mystery information they're using to give celebrities and notable people that check mark, they should be able to do a similar thing for anybody else who wishes to enter into that program and become a verified user. Because I would love to be a verified user and prove that I am who I say I am. And on app.net, they have that opportunity. Whatever the website is that's listed in your profile, able to do this thing to the DNS record to prove that you are who you say that you are, and if those things match, then we'll say that your account is verified, and unless your account is verified, you don't get access to certain things. And I really wish that there was some sort of unverified account, whether it times out, you know, it's a week before you can reply to people or whatever, you know, there's a lot of ways that they could do things to cause somebody who goes, oh, you know, I'm just going to whip up a fake account and I'm going to start harassing BTN people from afar, you know, with this pretend account. And I made it 30 seconds ago and I've already sent 10 people horrible things that I want to say about them. If they can prevent that window from being quite so narrow, then I think it would be a huge movement for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And Rare Black Magic in the chat is bringing something up. And I think he or she is right. We are all, except for Kelly, we are all men. And based on my own experience from people I know, women get more of that shit. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can't really talk about that. I think, I mean, It's hard to say, but yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't even get it. I get it bad, but I don't get it near as bad as people like Brianna and Anita Sarkeesian. Like, I'm nowhere near that level of anger. But yeah, it's not like I haven't been through it, and it's not like I don't get that happening to me regularly. It's why I basically don't play anything on the Xbox anymore. I don't have the patience for that kind of crap, because I'm not secret about the fact that I'm a girl, and so it makes it really hard for me to get to do some of those things. And I just gave up on Call of Duty because I can't take it.
You know what, Kelly? Mm-hmm. You're so right about that. And I consider myself a person of extremely thick skin. I have been through everything. Like, I was born and raised during the race wars in the United States, and I can't play Call of Duty anymore because, like, I guess I can take it, but I get sick of taking it for no reason. And it makes me want to reach through the phone and just literally just jack people up, because half the time I know the person is like 11 or 12 years old, and they don't even know the actual meanings of the mm-hmm. words that they're saying. And if it's stuff that they say and doing things like, you know, cracking the mic and dropping like, I guess like skinhead tracks through the mic, like that's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's super, super irritating. But to your point, one of the things that I think that you brought up something that I think would actually be kind of a cool startup, but it'd be hard to get people on board at first. And once they got on board, it'd be a cool startup. There should almost be a way that you could go into some local affiliation, be it your utilities company or somewhere where you know to pay a bill, and do your verification process so that when you have these certain big name services, you would be able to verify that you are you, because it's been verified by another human who is responsible for checking IDs or creating stake IDs, IDs or driver's license or passports. It'd be neat if that connected back to some of the bigger social entities online, so that way we would stop the bullying, we would stop the stupid threats, we would stop all of that crazy stuff, because there's ability.
Yeah,
the John Gabriel theory would almost lose one of its key ingredients.
I think there's another,
which is anonymity.
There's another key point to mention here, that if you get a death threat on Twitter, you don't tell the media, you don't tell Twitter, you tell the police. And that is the problem, because there's an awful lot of people are getting threats on Twitter, death threats on Twitter, or getting adverse threats on Twitter, and they're not telling the police. They're telling Twitter and they're telling the media about the fact. And I'm sorry, but if you are telling Twitter and the media about the fact you've got a death threat, you are basking in the glow of having got a death threat. You are not serious about it, and you are not dealing with it accurately. If you get a death threat, you tell the police and no one else. You shut up about it. You don't mention it. You do not mention it back again on those other formats. You go to Twitter through a letter, or you go to it through a private contact via the police, who've got access to contact people in Twitter. You do not go through open Twitter, and you do not go through the media. And there are people in the media who are reporting that Sue Perkins has had a death threat. She should never have got a death threat for the thing about Top Gear. But that equally should never have made the media.
Right.
On the other hand, I mean, it raises the issue, and I'm not so sure whether you shouldn't talk about it. I mean, depending on who you are. Well, if you are in the media, you are part of the media, and you get a death threat, maybe you should talk about it.
You shouldn't.
I mean, you should definitely talk to the police, but
you shouldn't talk in any open forum about the fact you've got a death threat, because that's what they want.
A lot of times people are resorting to that because they go to the police and say, I got this death threat. Like, Brianna Wu has taken pages of screenshots of death threats and rape threats and all kinds of violence against her to police, and had the police be like, what are you going to do? Boys will be boys. And having to draw attention to it in other ways, sometimes the only way to sort of force the issue and get someone to take action. Most of the time when I hear about it, when it's actually happened to someone, what I hear is, I went to the police and the police said, it's not like we're going to post an officer outside your door because of something someone said on the internet. I mean, come on, get real. And so they take it to the media, they take it to Twitter. Right. But they take it to the media, they take it to Twitter, because that's the only way to get anybody to draw attention to it. And sometimes it's, you know, for safety reasons. There's things that are, you know, at least in the United
The problem that
there's a lot of times that that's a legitimate thing that somebody has to sort of use that as a last resort. It's not like, oh, look, poor me, let me climb up on my cross because somebody said something mean about me online. That's not it at all.
Is this is cyber terrorism. What is the goal of terrorism?
Fear.
Terror. So you are giving them the oxygen that they crave. The one thing you must not do is get a cyber terrorist threat that goes public, and you must not absolutely give the person's name associated with that so that that goes public, because that was the entire intent in the first place. You keep it as quiet as you possibly can, and you keep it away from everything as much as you can.
I mean,
and I get abuse from people and they call me names and I read them out because it's a good laugh, but I don't think for one second any one of them means anything by it, and I'm sure they get a little tiny kick in their 15 minutes knowing that their thing got read out, but I don't think it's going to go any further. If there's anything that I think would go further, I wouldn't be reading it out. I would be going down to my police station, and my police station would be dealing with it. And I've spoken to Muller in the chat room about this, and the exact thing to do is to go to your police force, and they will deal with it. And my police force will deal with it. I know they will. And the British police force, if you believe you are being harassed unfairly online, do not tweet about it. Do not send anything to your local press. Go to the police force and they will take it seriously. I promise you they will. That is not the solution. Absolutely not the solution, because you're giving them exactly what they need. Bloody hell, that's a good stories tonight. Kelly G, have you got something that's pale and something that's a bit more fuzzy and warm that we can nestle into, or are we going to have another fight?
I'm pale and fuzzy. Oh, you mean a sword?
Yeah, but a bit more sun, and you'd correct that. But you're not allowed out in the day, are you now?
I am sometimes if I'm good. My story is in fact pale in comparison to what we've already been discussing. I was gonna talk how PlayOn got HBO Now. So all of that exclusivity that we heard about for Apple TV, straight out the window.
Really?
So
it was an exclusive for Apple TV, and before it's even come out, HBO Go's gone now on another platform.
No, Now is out. They made sure to get HBO Now up and running. You can sign up from your phone, from iOS, and you can sign up on the Apple TV or from your computer if you want to.
So is that 2 months of exclusivity? Not even.
No, it wasn't even a month, because they did it right before the new season started, and that started April 10th.
So is the chief executive of HBO got an email from Tim, and he's saying, yeah, but all the time they're watching us, they're really thinking of Apple. If I watch with my left eye, does it feel like someone else is watching?
Get that joke. So, okay, so...
Turn your eye around.
Does that joke work for women as well as men?
I just know what you mean, because
right, okay, got you. I made Kelly blush!
No, you didn't. You're going to have to try so much harder. So the thing that I thought was interesting about this was that A, there's basically no more exclusivity, but B, the story that we heard about Game of Thrones when it first debuted was that even with HBO Now, the first 4 or 5 episodes, Doc probably knows, leaked already, initially. The minute the first episode was out, 4 of them or 5 of them were already available on torrents and stuff. So, The interesting thing to me is that this turned into all of a sudden oh, hey, now everybody else can have this too. So I think it's awesome. It's also a channel. It also came out as a channel on Sling TV. So there you go. Yeah. So the 1-2 punch of this, of course, is that if you don't live in the U.S., HBO is trying to crack down on keeping you from getting your hands on it, which I don't understand, because here's why I think it's dumb, because these people are trying to pay you money and you're making it hard for somebody like Paul or Ewan to give you money.
It's impossible. I think that's stuff hard. It's impossible.
I know, and I think that that's dumb.
HBO's
and
fault, though.
Like, okay, I get that that's the case, but the thing about it, like, I always point to this. Starbucks, as an example, has made it ridiculously easy for me to give them money. They have an app, and from the app, they can go, hey, if you feed us your credit card, we'll just bounce money over there for you automatically, and you don't even have to think about it. I can pay them in a store with an Android phone, with an iPhone, an iPad, with a credit card, with a Starbucks card, with actual money like a caveman. You know, I can do all of these things in order to give Starbucks money. And they have made it, like I said, ridiculously easy for me to give them money. And so a lot of people do it. And
can I just, there's someone in the chat room wants to squash your flat there, Kelly. Deepan says, yes, but coffee doesn't have regional licensing, however.
That's true. And,
actually, it does.
But, well, some of it does.
No, Starbucks coffee tastes shit the world over.
So now I'm not saying anything about their coffee. I'm not saying anything about their food. I'm just telling you, they have made it ridiculously easy for people to hand them cash in whatever scenario that may be. So, I mean, remember, I live in Portland. I can get out my phone right now and order right there, and I can go roll in. If there's a line, it matters not. I walk up to the register and I go, hi, mobile order for Kelly. They hand me my food and my coffee and I leave. And I don't even have to wait in that line. And if I really don't want to, I can roll up to the drive-through and I can say, hi, Kelly. I roll up to the window. They hand it to me and I leave. And the content folks need to figure out that there are people in other countries who are stealing it because you will not let them pay.
Well, I think there's a certain point here. I mean, let's just finish off one of the points in the chat room here. The HBO CEO was a complete signball, says Deepan, but that's his own opinion. That's not mine. The new guy,
the one that said, you know, it's okay if somebody has an HBO Go login and they want to share it with somebody else. Like, we're not too concerned about that.
My turn, Cal. My point would be that in the European Union now, if you sell something, you have to pay the tax and VAT on the location where it's sold to, not where it's sold from. So if you look at HBO have got to go through an awful lot of rigmarole to set up accounting practices in the EU with the sale of those things. So I could see that they would go, well, it's not a big enough market for us, so we're not that bothered.
That's not true. Because HBO is not available in the EU, they don't have taxes.
No, I know it's not. But what I'm saying is, if they made it available in the EU with a purchased item that was available for UK purchase or a general EU purchase, they would have to collect tax and revenue and pay VAT on those member countries where they sold it. That would give them a need to create an accounting function in Europe, which they currently don't have. And it could be massive as a cost to them. They may not get the money back in terms of the setup cost. I could see why they possibly don't do it, because they make more money through just selling it to Sky TV, and Sky TV deal with all of that crap.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to go through that accounting process. Whereas if they sold it to the individual and didn't go through TV firms, they would have a massive setup cost that they'd never recover from. And also, Sky TV go, what, do you know what, I'm not buying it anymore. So they've lost that revenue as well as.
Yeah, I think that's the issue. I don't think they really care about accounting, but they care about...
I think it's all of it. I think it's all of it together, yeah. Patrice.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose Sky, and I've got to set up some offices in Liechtenstein.
Yeah, but as I said, that's the thing. As it is right now, they don't have to. They could just allow it, and it would work, but... Yeah, that's
one of the things that are extremely difficult. And I think if it was up to HBO, they would do it. Because, see, HBO is the content provider, but they're not the content creator. A lot of the fear, even way back from when Apple was trying to make these deals, it was coming from the content creators, not necessarily the providers. And by that, I mean the studios, which is really weird. Okay, because you got to take it in four pieces. Okay, so you got Patrice and I write a movie, okay? We don't care if the whole world sees it. But in order to get distributed, we go through the distribution company. And say that distribution company is Limelight or Ion or Mirage Pictures or one of those guys. Then after that, there's HBO. And then after that, you know, there's Apple and Play On and Roku and all of those cats. Okay. So we say, give the Apple and Roku guys say, give it to the world. Amazon, all those guys are like, give it to the world. HBO might even be like, give it to the world. But the idiot right here in the middle, the distributor, content license management firm, they are the ones that are the most scared about getting things out to the world. So that little nut crack right here makes the other four look like evil empire, and they're not. Mm-hmm. I think all of the above of those guys are like, hey, I want every, if I'm a director, I want every Tom, Dick, Harry, Carol, Alice, whatever the name of that movie, I want all of them to see that movie. And yeah, we know that that's very impossible, but it normally comes from the guys at Limelight or Universal or Warner Brothers or Paramount or whoever they are. Those are the guys screwing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you see the same thing happening for movies. I mean, nowadays you get the release of a movie is at the same time around the world, and it's not because they like it that way. It's because otherwise people would find way. I mean, people in other countries would find ways to get it, and they want to collect all the money, and that's their right. I don't get it. I mean, I'm using Netflix in the US. I'm paying for it. I'm willing to pay for HBO now, but I can't. Mm-hmm. So,
if I were going to drop a movie right now, Patrice, and I, we'd only talk to Amazon and Netflix. I wouldn't talk to anybody else to release my movie.
But even Netflix has the same issue. I mean, I can tell you in Germany here, you get certain, or you don't get certain movies you get in the US store. So,
right.
Yeah, but that's because of the license holder. Because Netflix is the license holder, we can tell them, hey, we want everybody to see this, except for Netflix. Mm-hmm. Other than that, give it to the rest of the world.
So if Netflix wants the world to see House of Cards, the whole world can see House of Cards, but it's not up to Netflix who gets to see Guardians of the Galaxy or the Lego Movie or whatever that's stated.
It's not even up to Netflix who gets to see House of Cards. On Netflix in Germany.
Righty, you got a point.
Well, it's the fact that Netflix is doing the same thing, because obviously they're talking about actively shutting down people who use VPN services obviously outside their region. But it's just like Kelly says, they make it so easy to pay for it. You know, we're not, they kind of like, they talk about people who VPN into different countries as almost like we're pirates, but we're paying for a service. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not, you know, it's all right, it's £6 a month here, it's throwaway money, it's just there, it's on my TV and on my devices. I'm giving you money, but to get the content I want, I have to circumvent certain rules to get the content I want, but I'm still giving you money. Why make it difficult for me to get the content I want?
You're correct. If not, I'm gonna
go off and get it somewhere else.
Right, but that's not Netflix. If you ask Wilmot Hastings, where he would be like, Paul, go for it. But they're tapping him on the shoulder, going, look, Reed, if those guys in the UK keep looking at my stuff, we're canceling our deal. So Reed has to be dad. You know when mom doesn't want you to do something, but she's don't want to tell you because she doesn't look like the bad guy, so she makes dad be the one to tell you no, even though dad is like, I don't care. You can bring your girlfriend over and hit her up in the basement all you want. Dad has to be the one to say it, even though he don't care. He's so happy to find out that you're not a lesbian. So, inside joke, people.
I can tell you that Netflix is making it really, really easy to give them money. They accepted my German credit card, something that, for example, doesn't work on iTunes. iTunes and get stuff in the US store because I have got a German credit card. Netflix, no problem. They accepted my address, so... Except for the I have to VPN so my IP looks like I'm in the US, Netflix is doing nothing to prevent me, at least right now, to prevent me from using the service and giving them money.
I've got a UK Netflix account, and I can log on to the US store anytime I like, as long as I go VPN. Yeah.
So,
but they're being told to cut us off if they find us doing that, aren't they? They are being told, like Doc said, it's not Netflix, but they are being told to actively cut us off if we've been found to do that. But we are still giving them money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know, I just wanted to clear your point because it sounded like you were blaming it on Reed, and it's not Reed. I prefer to call it Wilmont because nobody knows that. it's not really up to him, but he has to be the bad guy. And I know he hates that because when he was one of the first people, when he first started doing these Kevin Spacey deals and stuff like that, that kind of started a little bit of the zeitgeist that is directors and producers producing their own licensed direct and things like that. And then Amazon soon follows suit. And you know what? The stuff that they create right now is some of the best stuff out. That's what's so crazy about it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they get good deals. Like, it's kind of cheeky, but I'm love watching Death in Paradise. I don't know how that show was, in the actual UK, like if you guys liked it. It's cheeky as hell, but I like it because it's fun to listen to the St. Mark's accents, which don't exist. And they stole the island from Agatha Christie, which is still kind of hilarious that they made a new show, but just he made it up off of old Agatha Christie. That's, never mind. You get my point.
Moving on. Oh, he's done. Yeah, okay.
No, because I was joking. Stuck, but you know my point already.
Are you coming to the bash? Who's hands up? Who's coming to the bash? Patrice, are you coming?
I don't know yet.
Yes.
Foreigners.
Kelly says yes. Okay.
Anyone who comes from overseas gets in free. There you go.
That's Germany. Count us overseas.
Yes.
There's a sea between you.
We're an island. True.
A small one. But
Jesus, dude, you may have to shit out the window, but your geography should be good.
That is.
So yeah, turn west from where you are, mate, and keep walking until you hit water. And then you'd be in France anyway, so and you won't be the first German to make it to France.
And Paul says Scotland counts as overseas.
Yeah. the British Tech Bash is coming 4th of July if you want to come for the day. The Curry's on the 3rd, the night before. If you've got some lame excuse like, oh, I can't, we've got visitors coming round, or, oh, I can't because we're on holiday, it's my 18th wedding anniversary on that day. Okay, so it is the day of my 18th wedding anniversary. You cannot have an excuse that will top anything that I can do that day. So my wife is coming to the bash. She is happily coming to the bash, and she is happily overlooking the fact that I've booked it on our 18th wedding anniversary. So I'm afraid any excuse you've got is just piss poor in comparison. Get your ass to the bash. 4th of July for the bash itself. £20 for all the adults. Under 16s come free of charge. If you want to come to the Curry, we need to reserve tables so that we can have the back room to ourselves again. So I need £10 off you as a deposit. Give me a £10 deposit. That comes off the bill at the end, though. You get that back. That's not anything else. And then we'll just split what's remainder of the bill between us. That includes kids because they eat food as well, see. But under 16s come free for the bash itself. It's only £20 for the entire day. You don't need anything else. No food, no water, no nothing. Everything will be provided. Alcohol, booze, everything. The food is to die for as well. You need to get your ticket now, though, because we've got to confirm the venue. If you don't get your ticket soon, then I'm afraid I'll call it off and we just have a house party instead down at the new offices. So if you want to come, now's your chance. Get your ticket booked, because if there's insufficient numbers, then we will cancel, I promise you. And I want to say thanks to Arthur, who's at King of Cats on Twitter, and Andy Vaughan, who's at Anders UK on Twitter, because they've decided to have their caricatures done by Len Peralta. And they are just stunning. I mean, that is those two people. That looks exactly like them. I love Arthur's. Arthur's just incredible.
Those are awesome.
They are. They have bought their caricature with us to join Batwench in the supporters club. They've got their own. They've got the sticker bomb artwork that you can see there, and they can put that on any device that they like. If you put that up to Jelliskins or someone like that, they'll make you a cover to go on your iPad or your MacBook Air or MacBook Pro, anything you like, and you will get that as well. As so when you sign up for us, you get a Len Peralta caricature, which just looks fantastic anyway. You get the sticker bomb artwork, you get an all areas access pass, which it looks great, and you also get Twitter artwork that you can use as your Twitter avatar, which I'll send to you as well. All included in the price, and it's yours to have. It's $100. You send the money direct to Len. Len draws the picture and sends it back, and I send you all the other artwork. And also, what's nice is you get to choose your own banner on the BTM homepage. So you buy one of our banners that cycles randomly, and you can have anything you like on there. You can do school fate, you can do a charity, you can do your company name, you can do anything at all. Batwench did it, and Batwench picked her podcast dream team, which is there. Patrice wasn't in the network at the time, so that's why he's not on it, but I'm sure he would be if he was. But that's Batwench's podcast dream team with her her caricature and the rest of us. And that cycles through. So if you go to BritishTechNetwork.com, at some point, if you go through and keep refreshing the page, you'll see Batwench's banner come up. There's about 35 of them at the moment that cycle randomly. But there you go. $100 gets you a Len Peralta caricature and all the extra shiz that I've just talked about. So make sure you do it. And while we're on the subject of Batwench, if you like playing Destiny, then there's a British Tech Network Destiny clan and on Bungie. Just look for it. Batwench is the user. She's BatW3NCH. If you want to find her profile, and then she'll point you towards the forum, the group, the clan, as it were. There you go, if you're playing Destiny. Enjoy. Right then, have we got any... Oh, I haven't done UK2. UK2 are here. Thank you very much to UK2. They're awesome. It's only been 5 years. I should have got used to it by now, shouldn't I? If you need anything with the web, they're the people to talk to. And they've put us in contact with 100TB, who do the live stream as well. So if you're in the US, in the UK, you've got UK2, so you can get all your stuff from there and use the offer codes. If you're in the US and you keep looking at UK2 longingly and thinking, well, it's okay, but I'm going to get done on the exchange rate by PayPal, then fear not, because if you want a dedicated server, 100tb.com is the place to go. They've got all of the servers that we currently do the live stream off, and they are slick as snot. 2 second delay to the world because of our content distribution system that they provided. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Check out UK2 and 100tb if you can. And also check out Wirecast for the fantastic ScreenFlow software, because they give us $2,000's worth of stuff to do the podcast with here, and the switching and all that kind of stuff. So there we go. Right then. Wonderful, feisty episode, people. I enjoyed that. Good arguments all. Have we got anything that's cool? Doc starts off.
Yes. Okay. So last year at Macworld, Patrice and I met this guy, Daisuke, and his team. They're out of Japan, but they're set up office in California, and the company is called Cheerio. It's kind of funny, right? It's British Cheerio. Anyway, so Cheerio makes batteries and accessories and things like that for the iPad and for the iPhone. They just released yet another battery. I know you guys are probably sick of seeing batteries, but this guy is really cool. This guy is 13,500 milliamps. But what's really unique about it is it light as all get. And the reason for it is anybody who's dealt with batteries in like drones or camera gear and stuff like that, the best batteries you can buy are made by Panasonic's offshoot Cardam, and it's a Cardam lithium ion batteries. They also make nickel cadmium batteries and nickel metal hydride. They were always the best. If you were building anything, you needed to buy batteries, you'd buy these special Japanese cells, because it's just the way that they line them up and the way that they work. And this new guy, yeah, no, thanks, thanks, Paul. This guy right here is probably the lightest battery I've ever felt that happens to carry that much power, nearly 14,000 milliamps of power. And what that translates to is charging one of these like 6 or 7 times, or dual charging an iPad and an iPhone and things like that. So I just got this demo unit sent to me, and I've been playing with it, and I'm a big fan of Anker, but Anker got their homework to do. Because this is about half the weight, and it's even stronger than my beloved Anker Gen 3. They are already available, and the one thing that they did was they managed to not only miniaturize the circuit, but they brought the price down. This guy is only $39 for that much power, and it's pretty...
For how many? Did you say 13?
$39.
13 what?
The
13,000. 13,000. No. 13,000.
Yeah, 13,000. 400.
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a crazy amount of lot. And it comes with a lightning cable and a USB and B cable. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because D-Pan said, jumpstart your goat with it. And I'm trying to figure out how I can make that a righty joke.
The only person that understands that joke is righty. Anyway, not that you need to try another battery, but if you got one that's starting to not take charges right because you use it too much or you travel a lot, you might want to switch to this, sell your other one, and give the other one away to somebody and get this guy because it's amazing. It's really, really cool.
Excellent. That's good pick. Thank you, sir. Patrice, what do you have for us?
I wasn't prepared for a pick, so I just grabbed something out of my bag, and it's my favorite MacBook stand. It's Doc and I, we did them at MacWorld last year. It's called the Roost.
Yep.
And this thing is it's really, really thin when it's folded together, but once you open it up, it's an really amazing and amazingly strong and durable MacBook stand, and it works for anything, as far as I remember, anything between 11 and, so MacBooks 11 and 17 inch, and for Windows notebooks if they have a hinge that's somewhat similar to the MacBook. So let me just open it up. Mm-hmm. I think it's something like... It costs something like, I can't remember, $80. So US dollars.
Is it that much?
I don't know. Yeah, it's, but it's, I mean, I've had,
I don't know, I got given
for
mine.
A year. And it's
$80.
Okay. So it's really amazing. It looks, I mean, it looks really thin and looks like it won't hold anything. And it looks a little bit flimsy, but when you try it, when you see it, and the guys we talked to them, they told us they put something like, what was it, 130 pounds in cylinder blocks on this. And then they stopped. So they couldn't really break it. They stopped so that because they were wearing flip-flops and they didn't want the stuff to end up on their feet.
There is a cautionary note from Paul Wheatley in the chat room. He says, that stand is awesome. Just don't close your MacBook when it's still on the stand because it doesn't end well.
That's not going to work. You should take the MacBook out first and then close it. It's called Roost. So I'm going to put the link in the chat. So
Kelly's already
I already did.
The Roost stand.
Okay, awesome.
If you've got a pick,
it's amazing.
Stick
I have
in.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
And it has the perfect height. I've used a couple of other stands, but this one is perfect for me. It's my office and travel companion. So it's really, really awesome. And it's thin, it's light, it's small. So it fits in your bag.
I've got to say, because I had one and it came through with my backpack and I gave it away on the Patreon giveaway.
Oh,
I wish I
okay.
Because I had to buy one. I had to buy the 3M one, which is equally good. It's very good, in fact, and it's cheaper, but it's it was a good stand. It was a good stand. Very impressed. Excellent, mate. Kelly G, what have you got for us?
I have a nifty app you can use on all kinds of stuff, and that's why I picked it. It's Push Bullet. And the reason Push Bullet at pushbullet.com, the reason Push Bullet is cool is because it allows you to do a variety of things. But the thing that I think is the coolest at the moment is you can get notifications from your mobile devices on your on your other computer. So like if you have an Android tablet like I do, and you want to make sure that you're getting those notifications because maybe it's charging in another room or something, you're able to do that. And I really like it. And yes, Paul, it's probably a repick, but I don't care. They've added some new features to it. So with the new app, you can see your notifications on your Mac, which is also pretty useful to people. Again, if it's charging somewhere else and you need to... keep an eye on what's coming in over there. You can always do that. And the other thing I like about it is it's got a variety of notifications and things that you can set up using the channels, and you can have different things notify you. And I think that that's really nifty. So that's why I'm picking it, because it is also technologically agnostic. Because it's on Android, it's on iOS, there's a Chrome extension and a Firefox extension and a Safari extension and extension. You can use it on Windows and you can get it on your Mac. And I'm hearing that this might possibly be a re-pick.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's your pick for the first time. You only look an idiot when you pick the same thing twice and you are the one that picked it. If it's a repeat pick from someone else, you're fine. But if it's just the fact that it's clearly early onset Alzheimer's, then you've got bigger issues. So you're fine. Don't worry, Kelly.
So anyway, the reason it sort of came up for me is because now they've got with the newest thing that they've done is that you can shoot pictures back and forth using Pushbullet. So because there's the share extension support, now you can do it. And it's pretty nifty.
Excellent. Good pick. Thank you very much. And Righty, what do you have for us?
Well, I was looking for a new set of headphones for running and to do the show, so I'm not tied to the desk with a wire. And I got these, which is the Kit Sound Man Bluetooth headphones. They're really good. They're really fast connection. The sound is really clear and they're really good. But I use it on the way to work when I do a run. But after 2 hours of this show, they really, really hurt.
Okay.
Oh no.
we don't do 2 hour shows anymore, though. To be fair.
No. Well, I've been wearing them for 2 hours, but yeah.
I've tried to stay sober since then.
But they hurt. So.
What are they? What have you got?
The Kit Sound Manhattan Bluetooth headphones. They're £29 in Amazon at the moment.
All right. That's a good price. That's a good price. I'll take with that. Excellent, mate. Do you get Prime on them or not?
Yes.
Oh, well, in that case, buying them.
It ain't got Prime, I don't buy it.
Well, I've got to say, actually, I think Prime is becoming a bit of a problem for Amazon because I look at stuff now and I click on the Prime icon and if it doesn't come up on Prime, it's like, okay, fine, I ain't buying it. And I just don't buy it. That's it. Stuff here. Not having it.
Same here.
My cool thing is my pizza oven.
Oh, no.
My cousin Richard, Richard's a bit of a whiz on an engineering front. He's great with metal. And I said to him about a pizza oven and he said, there's got to be a way to do that. So I came up with this thing about, you know, I'll put a steel band around me kettle oven that I've got in the garden. It'll jack it up a little bit and we can feed pizzas in a gap that he cuts in it and it'll all work just fine. And here is my Fiorentina. And that is a pizza with an egg in the middle. It's a fried egg smack in the middle.
Oh my goodness.
Just see it. And that was
so good.
Fiorentina as it came out on Monday night with my parents here. Steve Neighbours coming around this weekend and we're firing the pizza oven up again. We're going to have the kids on and it'll be all great. And my cool thing is that. And here's the thing, right? If you like the look of that pizza and you think, I think that's probably going to taste really, really good. Well, if you come to the bash. Now, the bash day itself, I won't have it because there's loads of kids kicking around and it gets a little bit hot. It's 800 degrees C inside. So it's like the surface of the sun. And I actually got it too hot this weekend. And it was burning the pieces and not cooking the toppings. I've worked out how to back it off now. But here you go. If you come into the bash on the Saturday, that's fine. But on the Sunday, we're having a Here's What I Know day at my place. And there's 30-odd places left to come and we've got a couple of places left, so don't worry. You need to write and let me know, but the one thing we are going to do is fire up my pizza oven and we will be having pizza on that day. Homemade oven baked in the garden barbecue pizza.
Thanks to you. Now I need to order a pizza.
That pizza that you're looking at right there is worth any plane ticket from anywhere in the world, I promise you.
And you know what sucks? During the time of the bash is the same time as the Man United USA tour. So I would go all the way there. Already it's off season anyway, but then I would go all the way there and there'd be no chance of seeing the game.
Yeah, you see. Well, stuff the game, mate. It's football. It's played by puffs.
Hey. This guy stabbed in the eye.
And I don't mean that by saying it's gay people, because there's a lot of people who are far harder than the puffs that play football. There we go.
That's evil.
It's played by weak-willed individuals with no common sense whatsoever. and little intelligence. The opinion.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Wheatley says the opinions of you and Rankin do not necessarily represent the views of the entire British Tech Network. Except he thinks,
we knew that.
Except Paul Wheatley's an ex rugby player, and he thinks exactly the same as I do. Now, see, Rare Black Magic's poor, and they beat their wives. Now, that would be an offensive statement. Deep Pan agrees with me. So there you go. See, I'm right. I'm a man ahead of my time. And for all of you that you say sitting in tomorrow looking for your Apple Watch, it is coming, I promise you, between now and sometime in the middle of June. Maybe. I want to say hello to Flawless Fox on Twitter, because he tweeted out there's people that placed the order on the 18th and they're still getting their watch tomorrow. And I tweeted back, I didn't even place an order and I'm getting my Apple Watch tomorrow. Which pissed him off no end. He hasn't replied to that. I think I might have really upset him. If you're waiting for your Apple Watch tomorrow, then you might as well sit and watch the Mac Show. Stay in, look out the window, and periodically glance at britishtechnetwork.com/live, because the Mac Show will be on at 3 o'clock as normal, and we will be talking Apple, and we will be hoping that Don McAllister, who's on the show, will be getting a live delivery. Yeah, live delivery, that'd be great. A live unboxing. And also, anyone else that's on the show, it's going to be a bit early for your delivery, Doc, I think, maybe. But no, Adam's on. By the end of the show, Adam may have got a delivery, so we never know. We never know. We'll hopefully have a live unboxing, if we possibly can. We got Steve Sandy's iPhone 6 last time, so we should have got Stevie on again, actually, because he's a safe bet. But if you can join us tomorrow, it'll be great. And the other thing I want to just say quickly is please, please, please check out the guitar show. We've got a guy called Lee Peterson who started doing that. Episode 2 is going up over the weekend, I hope. But the guitar show is absolutely great. And we've got a Learn with Lee thing. So if you're learning the guitar, send a request to learn something specific, like bar chords or specific chord changes, blues chord changes using the bar chords, the fifth intervals, seventh intervals, that kind of thing. And he'll talk you through it. Or if you've got a specific piece of music that you love, a guitar riff that you've got, and you want to see how to do it and play it properly, then he's doing that. And we've got a video version, so you'll be able to watch and play along as well as. And it's a really good little podcast. Thanks to Lee for doing that. It's excellent. And don't forget, we've got loads of other podcasts. House of Cards. We've got The Gamer Show. We've got The Pocket Show. It's on Monday. You can check that out. We've got The Pinch Show as well. If you haven't listened to The Pinch, you really should. We'll be doing one in a second. And failing that, we'll see you all soon. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Doctor?
Well, tomorrow I'll be hosting a show with a cast of brilliant people. Adam Christensen, Chuck Letourneau, Don McAllister, and Kyle Swagger, and some tosser from Hawaii. That's going to be a pretty epic show.
I thought you were going to say some tosser from Birmingham. Thanks, mate.
What?
I thought you were going to say, and some tosser from Birmingham. Thanks, man.
It's called self-defecating humor.
No, that's it's deprecating. Defecating is when you shit on yourself.
A joke.
And that costs a lot more per hour, I promise you.
Anyway, so yeah, that's tomorrow, the Mac Show, and anywhere on Twitter or the social streams at DOCROCK, and on MacUser.pro with some dude from Germany and some chick from Portland.
There you go. Where are you, Patrice?
You could find me on Twitter at casual_kitchen. I've also got a blog where I will occasionally write about random stuff. Sometimes it's technical, sometimes it's more general, sometimes it's just my opinion. Well, it's always my opinion. You can find that at brandonmoore.net. And other than that, there are two podcasts. One is Deconstruct, deconstruct.tv, where I talk about, bullshit stories, and we try to deconstruct them. And the other one is just coming up in a few minutes. It's the Tech Hangout with Ben Rathick. So where we talk, I mean, it's a general tech show, iOS, Android, Windows, everything. So we just relaunched it. So if you're interested, thetechhangout.com/live.
Thanks, mate. Kelly, where are you, girl?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can sometimes find me on the Mac Show here, but apparently not tomorrow because I'm going to watch. And you can find me explaining stuff at macobserver.com and sometimes on the Daily Observation podcast there.
Okay. And Righty, where are you?
Paul on Twitter, mate, and forever and ever, britishsetnetwork.com.
Thank you. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, E-W-E-N-R-A-N-K-I-N. And you can follow me on Facebook. And we've got a Facebook page. So btn.com/Facebook will get you there. And Righty does all the social stuff and all that kind of thing. So there you go. I'll be mostly getting abusive emails from pufters who play football saying that they don't beat their wives. We'll see you tomorrow for the Mac Show. Thanks for listening.
Shabba!
No! We got a complaint about that shit. Stop doing it.
Shabba, come on. Who complained about Shabba?
I'm going to edit that out. I'm going to edit my out.